A government funding package is signed into law right up against its deadline. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services announces advanced payment in response to a major cyber attack. And President Biden delivers his State of the Union address for the week of March 11th, 2024. From Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., this is Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. I'm Matt Duckworth.
Tax for billionaires of 25%, just 25%. You know what that would raise? That would raise $500 billion over the next 10 years. And imagine what that could do for America. Imagine a future with affordable child care. Millions of families can get they need to go to work to help grow the economy. Imagine a future with paid leave.
Kicking off this week's episode with news from Capitol Hill, where on Thursday, President Joe Biden delivers his third State of the Union address. During his speech, the president touched on a number of healthcare issues, focusing particularly on the cost of prescription drugs and reproductive health care. He called on Congress to expand the Inflation Reduction Act's Medicare drug price negotiation program and give Medicare the power to increase the number of drugs eligible for negotiation from the current 10 drugs to 500 drugs over the next decade. The president argued that this change, quote, will not only save lives, it will save taxpayers another $200 billion, unquote. He also wishes to cap Medicare copayments and limit annual out-of-pocket prescription drug spending at $2,000 a year for all Americans, even those with private insurance, and to extend the price cap on insulin into the private insurance market. The president called on Congress to pass federal legislation protecting abortion rights and guaranteeing nationwide access to in vitro fertilization. He also asked lawmakers to support $12 billion for women's health research, highlighting the White House initiative on women's health research that he launched last November. Biden also called for continued support on Capitol Hill for the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, or ARPA-H.
Coming forward with a 22% in cuts, if we had, you know, level funding, that was a win. We prevented the most drastic and outrageous cuts in some of these bills. And quite frankly, you will recall that
last week, Congress passed a $460 billion appropriations package, including fiscal year 2024 funding for agriculture, Food and Drug Administration, transportation, housing, and urban development, veterans affairs, energy, commerce, justice, and the interior. The measure passed the House of Representatives in a 339-85 vote on Wednesday before being approved by the Senate in a 75-22 vote on Friday, thwarting a partial government shutdown set to occur at midnight. The funding agreement includes a provision addressing the Medicare physician cut that went into effect on January 1st. The provision leaves in place the full Medicare physician cut of 3.37% relative to 2023 payments, from January 1st to March 8th, and then from March 9th through the end of the year, subjects physicians to a 1.77% cut relative to 2023 payments. This results in physicians receiving a more than 2% cut in Medicare reimbursement in 2024 relative to 2023. Lawmakers continue negotiations on an agreement for the remaining six appropriations bills, including the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Congress has until March 22nd to fund those remaining portions of the federal government.
This is a system that affects pharmacies, physical therapy companies, hospitals, doctors, and what's tied up in being lost is about $100 million in payments per day.
In the wake of the recent cyber attack on Change Healthcare, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services last week expanded the types of providers eligible to receive advanced payment under the federal health programs to support them. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services had previously announced that it would consider applications for accelerated payments from Medicare Part A providers. On Sunday, CMS expanded their notice to include Part B providers as well. Affected providers can apply to receive 30 days of relief to be repaid at a later date. However, it remains unclear how much money is available for accelerated payments. CMS is also instructing Medicare contractors to accept paper claims and expedite provider requests to switch to a different processing platform, and is encouraging Medicare Advantage and Medicaid managed care plans to also make prospective payments to impacted providers, as well as to relax their prior authorization requirements.
Appreciate you very much. Mr. Chairman, I rise today in strong support of H.R. 3838, the Preventing Maternal Deaths Reauthorization Act, which I am co-leading with Dr. Burgess. Maternal mortality is something that I've worked on for many, many years.
As the voice of Representative Buddy Carter, a Republican from Georgia, whose bill, along with six others, passed the House of Representatives last week under suspension of the rules. Bills that passed the House included Carter's bill, the Preventing Maternal Deaths Reauthorization Act, the Action for Dental Health Act, the End Fentanyl Act, the Firefighter Cancer Registry Reauthorization Act, the Medicaid Primary Care Improvement Act, the Gabrielle Miller Kids First Research Act, and the 988 Lifeline Cybersecurity Responsibility Act.
The committee will come to order. Good morning. The Ways and Means Committee is taking action today to protect patients' access to health care where they live and work. We will be considering legislation.
That was Representative Jason Smith, chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, which last week advanced several pieces of health care related legislation. The Protecting America's Seniors Access to Care Act blocks the Biden administration's proposed nursing home staffing mandate. The bill was advanced in a 26-17 vote, largely among party lines. The Kidney Patient Act would allow end-stage renal disease patients to access oral-only drugs using Medicare Part D. It was advanced in a 41-1 vote. The Real-Time Benefit Tool Implementation Act would require CMS to implement a prescriber real-time benefit tool by January 1st of 2027. The bill was advanced in a 42-0 vote. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee advanced legislation last week that would limit contracting with certain Chinese biotech companies in an attempt to prevent foreign adversaries from acquiring Americans' genetic data. The Prohibiting Foreign Access to American Genetic Information Act would bar biotech companies controlled by a foreign adversary's government from obtaining federal contracts. It was advanced in an 11-1 vote. Ranking Member Rand Paul, a Republican from Kentucky, voted against the legislation, expressing concerns that it could raise costs for consumers. In related news, Chairman of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, Mike Gallagher, a Republican from Wisconsin, is requesting that Attorney General Merrick Garland review the Biotechnology Innovation Organization's lobbying on behalf of Wyzu Aptech in relation to the Foreign Agent Registration Act, or FARA. Wyzu Aptech is a global pharmaceutical, biopharmaceutical, and medical device company with ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Gallagher suggests that the Attorney General recommend that Congress require trade associations lobbying on behalf of companies posing a national security risk register as foreign agents. Last week, a group of Senate Democrats sent a letter to the Biden administration, highlighting challenges and proposed reforms to strengthen the Medicare Advantage program. The lawmakers urged CMS to 1. Ensure that insurance companies do not prevent older adults and people with disabilities from getting care by putting up obstacles, including onerous prior authorizations, artificial intelligence algorithms, or limited networks. 2. Strengthen provider encounter and patient data collection and transparency to improve public understanding of the effects of insurer-run Medicare Advantage plans on patients and the Medicare program. 3. Rein in overpayments to insurers and Medicare Advantage by adjusting benchmarks to compensate for favorable selection and cracking down on deceptive tactics by private insurance companies, including upcoding. 4. Address misleading and deceptive marketing practices. And 5. Strengthen Medicare for everyone through administrative action, such as lowering Medicare premiums, and support legislative efforts to expand Medicare benefits, cap out-of-pocket costs, and adjust the physician fee schedule to account for increases in provider costs. The letter was led by Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and signed by her Democratic colleagues Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Cory Booker of New Jersey, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Dick Durbin of Illinois, Ed Markey of Massachusetts, Jeff Merkley of Oregon, Tina Smith of Minnesota, Peter Welsh of Vermont, and Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont, who caucuses with Senate Democrats.
I'll dispute a little bit because there's a New York Times article basically saying we should march in on drug companies' technology to make the COVID-19 vaccine, which is to say they've invested so much to put out a vaccine so quickly, but now we're going to force you to share your technology with others. I think there's always going to be this populist impulse to give something away for free.
That was the voice of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions ranking member Bill Cassidy, a Republican from Louisiana, who joined 16 Senate Republicans in sending a letter to the National Institutes of Health Director Monica Bertinoli, detailing concerns with the administration's proposal to exercise march-in rights under the Buy-Dole Act to rein in drug prices. The letter reads, quote, "A short-sighted decision to exercise march-in rights would work against your stated goal and jeopardize patient access by discouraging individuals from partnering with NIH to develop new cures and treatments." The letter goes on to say, "Not only will this hurt patients, but it will also diminish the return the public gets on the investments Congress makes in NIH each year, something we should all seek to optimize. Agencies, including NIH, should not abuse their authorities to illegally seize intellectual property, and in the process, jeopardize the valuable public-private partnerships that make our biomedical research enterprise the best in the world." Unquote. The senators are also requesting that the Government Accountability Office review whether the administration's proposal meets the definition of a rule under the Congressional Review Act, thus making it possible to be overturned by Congress under a resolution of disapproval.
Today, we will be paying attention to the urgent unmet needs of millions of seniors in America and what we should do as a society to reduce the senior poverty rate, to reduce hunger, and to improve the health and well-being of our parents and grandparents, the people who
help. That was the voice of Help Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont who caucuses with Senate Democrats, who joined Ranking Member Bill Cassidy in requesting input from stakeholders as they work to reauthorize the Older Americans Act. Current authority for the Older Americans Act expires on September 30th of this year. The committee is seeking responses on several targeted questions to better understand the impact of the flexibilities granted during the COVID-19 public health emergency. Written responses are due back on March 21st of this year and should be submitted to oaa@help.senate.gov. That's oaa@help.senate.gov. Some oversight news today, where Republicans on the House Energy and Commerce, Ways and Means, and Oversight and Accountability Committees were joined by the GOP Doctors Caucus leadership in requesting a briefing from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services officials regarding the steps that are being taken to address an alleged catheter billing fraud and how to prevent its recurrence. The scheme is estimated to have affected over 450,000 Medicare beneficiaries and totaled at least $2 billion. The letter reads, quote, "If public reports about the apparent ease with which this fraud was perpetuated are accurate, they raise questions about the efficacy of current Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the HHS Office of the Inspector General Fraud Detection and Prevention Measures," unquote. The lawmakers also highlight stakeholder concerns that a similar increase in fraud has occurred in diabetes supplies, which may be evidence of a new fraud against the Medicare program.
It will be four people named John who would have served him as whip, starting with John Kyle, and then John Cornyn, and then John Thune, and then John Barrasso.
That was the voice of Senator John Barrasso, a Republican from Wyoming, who currently holds the spot of GOP conference chair in Senate Republican leadership. Barrasso, who's an orthopedic surgeon, has announced that he will run for Senate Republican whip, the number two spot in the conference. Barrasso is one of the quote-unquote three Johns considered potential candidates to succeed outgoing Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell, following his recent announcement that he would step down from the position at the end of this Congress. Former Senate GOP Whip John Cornyn of Texas and current GOP Whip John Thune of South Dakota have each confirmed that they will run for the conference's top post. Winding down today, where the Government Accountability Office has released a new report on actions that are needed to address biomedical research duplication at different HHS agencies. The report is the first in a series examining research activities at the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, or ARPA-H, NIH, the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, and the Food and Drug Administration. The report was mandated by Congress in the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023. GAO outlines the practices in place to avoid unnecessary research duplication, including reviewing project and funding information provided by applicants, consulting with experts and other agencies, and using databases to identify potentially overlapping research.
America wants right now. I love Arizona, and I am so proud of what we've delivered. Because I choose civility, understanding, listening, working together to get stuff done, I will leave the Senate at the end of this year.
That was the voice of Senator Kyrsten Sinema, an independent from Arizona, who announced last week she will not run for a second term in the United States Senate this November. Her retirement from office leaves Representative Ruben Gallego, a Democrat from Arizona, and Republican Carrie Lake in the race for the Arizona Senate seat. Sinema currently sits on the Appropriations, Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, Commerce, Science, and Transportation, and Veterans Affairs Committees. A running list of members of Congress who are retiring or seeking other office can be found in our weekly written policy briefing on the news page of our website at www.hhs.com.
The meeting will come to order. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee organizing meeting for the 118th Congress.
The Committee on Energy and Commerce will come to order. The chair recognizes herself for an opening statement.
And it's a pleasure to bring together the first meeting of the Finance Committee in the 118th Congress.
Good morning. The Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions will come to order. All right, we did it officially.
We end each week's episode with the call to order, where we lightning round congressional meetings and hearings in the near future that you need to know about. First, on Tuesday, March 12th at 10 a.m., the House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee will hold a markup of 19 legislative proposals to improve the health and well-being of patients and caregivers. Second, on Tuesday, March 12th at 11 a.m., the House Ways and Means Committee convenes a hearing titled Enhancing Access to Care at Home in Rural and Underserved Communities. And last, on Thursday, March 14th at 10 a.m., the Senate Finance Committee hosts a hearing to examine the President's proposed budget request for fiscal year 2025 for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. For more information on this week's healthcare happenings in the administration and on Capitol Hill, you can visit our website at hhs.com and click on the news section at the top of the page. You can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud. Did we miss a story you wanted to hear this week? If so, email me at mduckworth@hhs.com, and we may include it in our next episode. Have a great week, and stay healthy.